Let us open our Bibles today to Mark chapter 2. We're looking today at the first 12 verses in this chapter. We continue to study from the narrative of the life of the Lord Jesus that Mark has given unto us. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed, and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. A few weeks ago, we looked at the verses which told us of the Lord Jesus coming to Capernaum, and he entered into the house of Simon and Andrew. He had called Simon and Andrew, James and John, to follow him, and he would make them to become fishers of men. He spent one night in Capernaum and left the next day to go into other towns to preach. And if you notice in verse 1 of our text today, we see the word again. And again, he entered into Capernaum. The title of the message today is Power on Earth. Power on Earth. And I'm taking this title from the words in verse 10, where he said, that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. I do not need to remind us today that this title, Son of Man, expresses his humanity. The prophecy in Isaiah, which was approximately 600 years before the Lord Jesus came into this world, it said unto us, a child is born, unto us a son is given. He is the son given, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But he's also the child born. And that's the reason for the title, Son of Man. And we shouldn't, this morning, I trust that none of us do, overlook that very little word, us, in that prophecy. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. At his birth, the angels told the shepherds that evening, For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He came on purpose to save sinners. He came on purpose to save his sheep, those whom the Father had given him in that everlasting covenant of grace. It was for us, unto you, is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Think about that. You, every you here today, you, unto you, is born this day in the city of David a Savior. That's what we need. That's what all of us need. A Savior. Do you know him as your Savior today? Or is he just some historical figure that you've heard about probably all of your life? But do you know him as your Savior, as your kinsman redeemer? Now, I want to point three truths out to us in this passage. Three truths that we should know about the Son of Man. He said that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and walk. Here are three truths about the Lord Jesus Christ that we should know from these verses. First of all, he hath power on earth to speak the word of God. Now listen, this is important. He hath power on earth to speak the word of God, but he preached unto them the word. Notice that in verse 2. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. We understand this to mean the written word of God. The written word of God at that time was the Old Testament scriptures. Now, I point this out to us, and I hope every one of us can take this in. When he spoke the word of God, because he is God. When he spoke the word of God. But when he preached the word of God. That is, the written word of God. Later, his apostle Paul would write to Timothy, considered a young preacher at that time, and he exhorted him, preach the word. And by that word to Timothy, it applies to every man who calls himself a preacher. Preach the word. And Paul said there would come a time when men would not endure sound doctrine. In other words, there would come a day when men would not want to hear the word of God. But to every preacher, preach the word, the written word. Our Lord did, and we have him as an example. Those of us who call ourselves preachers, we have our Savior as an example. He preached unto them the Word, the written Word. You're never going to improve upon the Word of God. I want you to hear what God says about His Word in the book of Jeremiah. This is found in chapter 23. I'll read it to us. God said, the prophet that hath a dream. You ever hear a man stand up in a pulpit and talk about a dream that he's had? Preach about a dream? Or some so-called message that he's just received from God? God said, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, now listen, he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is chaff to the wheat? You know, when they winnowed the wheat, they beat it, and then they would throw it up into the air, and the wind would take the chaff away. It's no good. It doesn't serve any purpose. You wouldn't want to eat it, but you could eat that chaff and starve to death. No, you need the wheat. You need the Word of God. And that's what the Scripture here says. God compares His Word with everything else and calls everything else chaff. No good. No account. In other words, it's not going to help you. It's not going to feed you. When the Lord told Peter, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Well, what are we to feed them? Feed them the Word of God. God's written Word is truth. When the Lord Jesus Christ was praying, but you know, when He stood before Pilate, Pilate asked that question, what is truth? What is truth? And some people today will say, well, there is no truth. And you respond, is that true? Is that true, what you just said? There is no truth? Is that true? No, when the Lord Jesus Christ was praying in John chapter 17, speaking to His Heavenly Father, He said, Thy Word is truth. Thy Word is truth. Hear what God says about His Word in the Psalms. In Psalm 119, it's all about the Word of God, isn't it? The written Word of God. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. No debate, no question. It's settled. It's settled. It's certain. It's the truth. The truth doesn't change. Another verse there. The entrance of Thy words giveth light. When God's Word comes into the heart of man, it gives light. It gives light. It gives understanding. We use that term sometimes when we say, well, the light came on. And we don't mean that someone flipped a switch necessarily, but we mean that all of a sudden we could understand. Verily, verily, the Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see. He cannot understand the things of God. The carnal mind is enmity with God. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. We're not told what part of the Old Testament, 39 books in the Old Testament. We just read here, He preached the Word unto them. We don't know what part of the Scriptures or how many of those books that He preached from that day. But I'm just going to say that maybe He preached from this passage of Scripture I want you to turn to with me in Isaiah chapter 46. Just maybe. I know this, when He preached the Word, He preached Himself. Because the Scripture says, He said this, He said, search the Scriptures, for they are they which testify of Me. All of the Scriptures. You begin in Genesis and come all the way through Malachi and then start in Matthew and go through Revelation. And what is it? It is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Just maybe He preached from these last two verses here in chapter 46. Hearken unto Me, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I bring near My righteousness. It shall not be far off, and My salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, My glory. Now I chose this passage of Scripture because it speaks to us of man's natural condition. It speaks to us about righteousness. It speaks to us about salvation. And it speaks to us about the fact that salvation is of the Lord. Maybe He chose these verses. He came to save sinners. It speaks about salvation. Notice these things. First of all, here is the condition of all men as we come into this world stout-hearted, far from righteousness. You see that in that verse? Hearken unto me, you stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. That's your condition. If you're here today without Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's your condition. You're stout-hearted and you are far from righteousness. You have no righteousness that God will accept. That word stout means hard, hard-hearted, stubborn, desperately wicked. You will not bow to the claims of Christ. You're stout-hearted. You just say, no, no, I will not have this man to reign over me. That's the condition of all of us when we come into this world. Stout-hearted, stubborn, hard-hearted, and we are far from righteousness, far from God, alienated from God. Now, you know, when the Scripture speaks about a person being far from God, it's not talking about far in distance, because we live and move and have our being in Him. He's omnipresent. He's here. He's everywhere. No, no. When it speaks about man being far from God, it's talking about our character. God is absolutely holy, and man is absolutely sinful. There couldn't be any more distance in that sense between light and darkness. God is light, and man, when we come into this world, Paul says this in Ephesians, we are darkness. Not only are we in the dark, but we ourselves are darkness. We're far from God. And then notice the verse tells us that God brings near His righteousness and His salvation. God does this. When we read that He brings near His righteousness and His salvation, that's speaking of Christ. That's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is righteousness. He is salvation. And don't you just love that passage of Scripture that speaks about Mary and Joseph when they presented Jesus, was just about 6 weeks old, I believe, and brought Him into the temple. And there's that old man, Simeon. And God had told him, you're not going to leave this world until you have seen my salvation. Yeah. And there they come, carrying that little baby. Simeon took him up in his arms, and he said, now, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace, for I have seen thy salvation. He saw God's salvation in Christ. That's where salvation is. It's not things about Him. No, it's Him. He is salvation. And God brought him near. No one can force God to do anything. No one could have forced God to send His Son into this world, send the Savior into this world. No, He did it. He purposed it from before the foundation of the world. He planned it. And everything is happening in my life and your life according to God's determinate will. What confidence, right? What assurance it gives us. God's in control. And God sent His Son into this world to be the Savior, to be the propitiation for our sin. God brings Him near. God brought Him near. And then the third thing, it says that God places His salvation in Zion for Israel. Now, the Israel of God here is not the national nation of Israel. No, this is the spiritual Israel. God places His salvation in the heart of His chosen people.
Yeah.
He's the one that does the work, and that's the reason all the praise and all the glory we give unto Him. If He has saved you today, eternity's too short, my friends. Eternity is too short to give thanks unto Him for saving you. He didn't have to. He doesn't save everyone. But according to His own sovereign will, if you're saved, He did it on purpose. Sometimes, you know, people have come into churches like ours and they say, well, He doesn't give people a chance to get saved. You know what they mean by that. We don't sing an invitation hymn at the end and beg sinners to come to the front and pray and kneel and all of that. Oh, they don't give sinners a chance to be saved. Men are not saved by chance. Men are saved on purpose. God's purpose. Yes, when He saves you, confess Him. Follow Him in baptism. Absolutely. But He's the one who does the work. He's the one who reveals Christ in you, to you. What is God's salvation? This verse speaks of salvation. What is God's salvation? Well, you know that word salvation is what we like to call an umbrella word. I mean, there's so much. It's incomprehensible. All that's included in that word salvation. We begin with forgiveness of sins. What a blessing, right? What a blessing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, all thy sins. That's just one thing. What about adoption? Adopted into the family of God. God is your Father. What about pardon? All your sins pardoned, put away. We just go. Reconciliation. We who were enmity with God, now we are reconciled and we have peace with God. Salvation. He preached unto them the word. Now, here's the second thing I want us to see in this passage back in Mark. Second, He hath power on earth to know the thoughts of men. He knows your thoughts today. He knows my thoughts. Now, I'm sure we're all very familiar with what took place. I remember hearing this story, history, I should say, when I was just a little child in Sunday school. About these men bringing this man, taking the roof loose and letting him down. We're all familiar with this. There were four men along with their paralytic friend. They had no doubt heard of the Lord Jesus, His power to heal, and they believed. We know they believed because the Scripture says He saw their faith. They believed that if they could bring Him, they didn't have the faith that centurion had. Remember when he said, Lord, just speak the word. I'm not worthy that you even come under my roof. You don't have to come to my house. Just speak the word. Now, they didn't have that great faith, did they? They felt like they had to bring him. They had to bring him and present him physically before the Lord Jesus Christ. But they met a challenge and getting their friend to Christ. The Scripture says they could not come into the house through the door. I assume when they went and picked him up and carrying him on his pallet, they just figured, well, we'll get there and they'll open the door. The door will be open. We'll just walk right in. But no, they got there and people was all outside. And why? Because he was healing people. He was healing people of physical infirmities. And so they met an obstacle. They couldn't get in the house. I don't know how they did this, but I know they didn't reason like some people. Well, we did our best. We tried. Maybe we'll come back tomorrow. They didn't do that. None of those things. They said, there's a way. There's a way. I'm going to open up the roof. Oh, don't you know that made a mess? Have you ever had a part in putting a roof on a house? In this house, I don't know what it was made of, the roof of mud or straw or whatever, but don't you know it just made a terrible mess falling down on people's head and everything else? But they were on a mission. They were on a mission. They had a friend. And I might say this, that man, he had four friends, didn't he? I mean, these were friends. They're going to get him, if it's humanly possible, before the Lord Jesus Christ. And they heard something. They got him there, let him down, let his pallet down before the Lord some way. And they heard something they never, ever expected to hear. They heard the Lord Jesus Christ say unto him, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. They never expected to hear that. And I tell you, they were not the only ones who heard something they were not expecting to hear, because there were scribes there. Now, a scribe was a man who was charged with copying the Word of God. And they heard that, and they reasoned in their hearts, he speaks blasphemies. They were not aware of this one who was here, of who he is, that he knows the thoughts of all men. David said this about him. He said, thou understandest my thought afar off. God knows every thought you've ever had and every thought you ever will have. Mine too. What if God just judged you for your thoughts? What if you had to answer to God for your thoughts? Not your actions. Just leave those aside for a moment. If God just judged you, if you stood before God Almighty in that great day, and you were going to be judged just for your thoughts. Is there anyone here today who would feel comfortable? Oh, I'm okay. I'll be okay. No problem there for me. No, I've never had an evil thought in my life. I don't think there's anyone here who would say that. I hope not. But I know dead is dead. And men are dead in trespasses and sins. And some people, they say that. Well, I've never had an unclean thought, evil thought, never said a bad word in my, never criticized, never hated, never told a lie. Oh, maybe a little white lie. He knows our thoughts. He knew their thoughts. And I tell you, there's one thought that every man, every son of Adam has about God. And that's given to us. God speaks this in Psalm chapter 50. And he said, thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thou art. Yeah. All men think God is like us. We can overlook a trespass. We can sweep something under the rug. God's like us. Yeah, we've done a few things that we shouldn't have done, but all in all, everything's going to be okay. God's not like you. God must punish sin. Why? Because he is holy. If he did not punish sin, he would cease to be absolutely holy. That brings me to the third thing. He hath power on earth to forgive sin. He hath power on earth to forgive sin. He forgave this man his sins. And that we may know, he said, that you may know who can forgive sins but God only. Now, if he actually forgives sin, that means he's God. That you may know. Take up your bed and walk. What'd the man do? Immediately took up his bed and headed on. Let me close this morning by reminding us of these two very important truths. Number one, it is only on earth that sin is forgiven. That you may know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin. It is only on earth that sin is forgiven. If a man leaves this world unforgiven, unforgiven will he be for all eternity. We're all familiar with that saying, you can't take it with you. And I know usually that refers to money, and that's true. But I tell you, there's one thing you will take with you. If you leave this world unforgiven, if I leave this world unforgiven, one thing we will take with us is our sin. And we'll take it to judgment and take it to hell. It's only upon this earth that sins are forgiven. And number two, it is only for Jesus' sake that sin is forgiven. Only. Not mostly. Only. It's only for Jesus' sake that sin is forgiven. The Apostle John, writing in his first letter, said, I write unto you, little children, and you know, he goes on to speak about the young men and the older men, but here's the very beginning, the little children, because this is true of every child of God. No matter what our age, mature-wise, our maturity may be, this is still true. It's true at the beginning. It's true at the end. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. That's the only reason, for Christ's sake. Whew. Don't you know that man, when he left that house, he went out of there jumping, praising God. Oh, what the Lord has done for us if He's forgiven us our sins. And He's only done it for Christ's sake. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn.